Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, your source for practical teaching ideas using technology, creativity, and student engagement. Listen, learn, and plan your lessons for class tomorrow. Now here are your hosts, Matt Miller and Carly Mora.
The Ditch That Textbook podcast is back. Yay. I ran this podcast for a while as a daily show, like little 5 minutes once a day and everything. And unfortunately, I just couldn't keep up with it. So it's been kind of just sitting there. And now we're back and it's not just me. I get to share the microphone here with Ditch That Textbook blog and social media editor, Carly Mora. So she's going to be my co-host. Carly, are you excited about this? How are you feeling about being a podcast co-host?
I'm super excited. I think this is going to be really fun to share what we do every week with listeners and our subscribers. So I'm pumped.
Yeah. So am I. And we decided that we wanted to revive the podcast and bring it back in this form. It's going to be a weekly show. And we really just want to take some of the biggest ideas that we share in the Ditch That Textbook email newsletter and be able to share them in audio form, which will mean that you can get them through your ears instead of through your eyes. And was that weird? Maybe that was weird. No, we're going to roll with it.
No, not weird.
Okay. So you can get them through your ears. And it also will let Carly and I kind of chat about them and, you know, kind of make sense of them and talk through some of the things that we didn't get to say in the email newsletters and the blogs and everything. And I know for me, there's lots of podcasts that I will listen to that I don't subscribe to the email newsletters for. And it's just nice to be able to listen to things on the go. So I don't know, Carly, are you kind of along those same lines on your reasons for the podcast?
Yeah, I think what's funny, a lot of people don't know is so many things we don't get into the email newsletter, like little things that we find along the way that we talk about or we share, and it just doesn't get into the email newsletter. So it's fun for us to be able to share all those little tidbits and news and quick strategies that we talk about on the behind the stage that you'll be able to see and or hear now.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you're going to see sort of week in and week out is we're going to try having some regular sections. So we're going to have the news and updates section. We're going to have one big idea that we talk about. We're going to have some tech tips, some quick teaching strategies, and then a template of the week. And if we're able to stick with all those things, you'll have some of that in every episode. So I think it's about time. Let's go ahead and dive into our first section, which is news and updates.
News and updates.
So to kick off our news and updates section, we've got this online event that we do every single year. If you're a longtime listener or a longtime subscriber to the email newsletter, this probably won't be a big surprise to you, but we've got this free online conference called the Ditch Summit, short for the Ditch That Textbook Digital Summit. And it is starting to get close. It's less than a month away. So it's this free online conference that we do for educators every year. It's got lots and lots of sessions that are on demand that you can watch just whenever you want. It's almost kind of like Netflix for your professional development. I think we're up to almost 100 different sessions this year. And so this year we're going to have 8 brand new featured speakers, which we will dive into a little bit more in future podcasts. We're going to have, I believe, 9 spotlight sponsor sessions, which is where some of the ed tech tools that you know and love get to come tell you about their app and some of the new features and the new updates and everything. You can get free professional development certificates, like certificates of completion. We're going to have some contests and some prizes, and it's a lot of fun. And it's happening this year from December 11th to January 5th. And so the summit will be open all during that time. Now, if you're already a subscriber to the Ditch That Textbook email newsletter, you're going to get the Ditch Summit right through that. We're going to get you all the good stuff just through your regular email newsletters. But if you're not a subscriber, you can go to ditchsummit.com to get signed up. And Carly, I don't know about you, but like, this is one of the things that we do that I think I look forward to the most every year.
It's So much fun every year. We've been doing this. Well, you've been doing this a little longer than me. I jumped in probably the second or third Ditch Summit to help out, but it's a lot of fun. It's great to see so many people come back every year. And then we get to open up all the old videos that have been for on there for so many years and check them all out. And it's just fun. It's a seasonal thing that we get to do. It kind of kicks off the holidays for us too. It's really fun.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So like I said, if you haven't signed up for that, you can go to ditchsummit.com to get registered. And then for our other news and updates item, Carly, you've got some news about Google Slides, right?
I do. I was kind of looking around to see what kind of fun news we'd have to share. And Google Slides is getting GIFs or GIFs, depending on how you say it, and stickers. And it's right in Google Slides right now. It's super easy. All you have to do is go to Insert and then Image and then GIFs and Stickers is already in there. And you can search for GIFs and Stickers right inside Google Slides and add them to your presentations. And I think it'll be a really fun way to add some excitement and some joy to those slides that kids love them. We know our students love them and we love them too. It's really fun to just add them in. And I'm kind of excited to hear what people do with them and how they kind of make their old presentations kind of revive them and give them new life with this new update to Google Slides.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I remember when if we wanted to add animated GIFs to, I'm team GIF, by the way, if you haven't been able to tell. But I remember when we wanted to add animated GIFs, it was a big hassle and you had to like download it and then upload it. And it just was a pain. And so this makes it easy. And I mean, I can already see the potential for using these animated GIFs and stickers as feedback on student work. I could see it for almost like storytelling capabilities to add sort of a new dimension to it and everything. Yeah, there's just lots of ways. I'm with you. I'm very interested to see what people do with this. So, so anyway, there's a couple of things to keep you up to date on in our news and updates.
The big idea.
So in the podcast, one of the things we really wanted to do was to do kind of a deep dive into one particular idea, something that we've shared in the email newsletter sometime over the course of the last week. And we've been hitting the AI tools pretty hard this week. Since the podcast was last around, artificial intelligence has obviously stormed onto the scene in a really big way. And over the last year, it's been interesting to see all of the app developers and all of the ed tech tools and, you know, all of the things that we use in the classroom. So many of them have started incorporating artificial intelligence features, or in some cases, we have entirely brand new AI tools that didn't exist before, you know, a year ago when ChatGPT came onto the scene. And one of the things that I think teachers have really, really been diving into is trying to figure out how these AI tools can help us more to be more efficient, to be able to save time in the classroom. I don't know about you, but I really feel like that it's just so rare for anything to take things off of the plates, responsibilities and work off of the plates of teachers. And I really feel like maybe AI tools are one of those things. So Carly, I'm pumped about all of this stuff. And I mean, just checking out what everything can do.
I agree. When we look at these AI tools, I find myself like finding teachers and I feel like I'm like kind of sitting there waiting, like, do I mention this tool that could save them time, that could make their life better? I did that yesterday. I was at my son's school and there was this teacher there and she mentioned something about IEPs. And I was like, oh, there's actually a tool that might actually help you. And I'm like, oh, I'm that person. I'm that person like running around just sharing AI tools. And I'm like, I don't work for them. I just really think that it will save teachers time. And I'm just like you, Matt. I don't share something unless I really truly think it's going to help teachers out. We know what their job is like. We know how much time they spend planning these amazing lessons for their kids. And if it's not going to save them time and make their job easier, then then we're not going to share it. And we've got some good ones over this. We could share every week for hours and hours, but we've got some good ones we're going to share. And I think that I think teachers are going to really, really love them.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. In fact, I was just out on Twitter yesterday and I saw a post, I think it was from Magic School. By the way, if you haven't checked out magicschool.ai, it's a really good one with lots of time-saving things for teachers. And it was a picture where a teacher was showing a special needs teacher about Magic School and about how it can help her write her IEPs. It was just this picture of her kind of like in awe. And the caption to the picture said that her response was, "Oh my goodness, now I can have my weekends back," or something like that, right? It's like, mm-hmm. That's huge. And the nice thing about a lot of these AI tools is that they're pretty intuitive. They're pretty user-friendly. Mm-hmm. Carlene, you and I were just talking before we came on about how I had somebody email me and they said, "What are some prompts that I can use?" And I know that there's a little something to learning how to prompt and how to get the most out of the AI, but that almost felt to me like saying, you know, what are some Google searches that I can do? And it just makes me go, just go search for it. And it's the same way with the AI prompts. Like, to some extent, we can just jump in and with a lot of these tools, just describe what we need and it can give us a version of it. And a lot of the examples that we have to share here are good examples of that, I think.
Right. And it's funny, Matt, we talk about how we share a brain and Magic School AI and the special needs teacher I was talking to, that's exactly what I was telling her about. And what I love about tools like Magic School is that they will give you an example that you can see first, so you can see what a prompt would look like so that you can kind of see what's going to generate, and that will help you generate a prompt. So I think that's great. And Well, we have tons that we're going to share. So I'm going to jump into the one that I wanted to share today, which is actually kind of almost, it's kind of outside the classroom, but inside the classroom as well. And I know that we do so many amazing things in our classrooms every week. Administrators are sharing things around the school that happen. And Canva has something called Magic Media. And they make it so easy to make beautifully designed images, but they also have a way to make beautifully designed videos. And what I love about Canva Magic Media is that you can go in and create a video and go to Magic Media, and right there inside of Magic Media, you can click the little, it's like a little magic button. It's a big star with little stars around it, the Canva assistant, and you can pick a few pictures that you want and then describe what your video is about. Say you want to recap the week. I love that idea of taking pictures throughout the week. And then we take all these pictures and it's like, what are we going to do with them? Well, we want to share them with the world or with our parents, whatever we decide to do. If we share it on Seesaw, or we use Parent Square, something like that. So you take these images, you put them in there, and then you click that, you send your prompt, say, well, I want a recap of the week. Click go, and it will generate a video with music, transitions, captions inside the video, and then it's done. Download it and share it, and it's already done. And I think that is such a fun way to share what's going on in our classroom. And I think that teachers are really going to love that, and our administrators, people that walk around like as a coach, I think that would be been a really fun way to go take pictures of all the classrooms I visit, then go to Canva Magic Media, put them in a video, and then share them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you put your finger right on it that, you know, we've got all of these great pictures. We've got all of these good examples, you know, all of this great stuff that's happening in our classroom. And sometimes it just gets stuck in our phone, you know, or stuck on our desk or something. I heard somebody say once that if we don't take it into our own hands to share the great things that are happening in our schools, there's a chance that nobody else will. You know, you can't count on the news to do it, because a lot of times that ends up being negative. Like if the TV news shows up to your school, like you're starting to go, oh no, what happened? Exactly. So this is a great way to be able to take some of those things and, you know, make these quick recap videos. And like you said, parents and family and the community and everything are curious to see what's going on in the schools and want to see some wins out of all of it. So I think that was a really great share. A really good one. One thing that I wanted to share is how I think AI tools can emphasize process over product. And I think that especially when ChatGPT came out, we had so many educators that were worried and are still worried, and rightfully so, that kids are going to use these AI assistants like ChatGPT and Bing and Bard and all of those to do the thinking for them, to do the work for them. So it's just like, copy and paste, I heard somebody say prompt and paste. You know, there's like prompting and pasting instead of doing the thinking themselves. But I really think if students have an idea of how some of these AI tools can be their thought partner, you know, kind of like their collaborator, so to speak, in the work, that it can help them get to deeper levels of thinking. And one tool that I think sets the stage for that really well is FigJam. So FigJam, if you're not familiar, is an online whiteboarding tool. It lets you put sticky notes on your whiteboard. You can connect them. You can draw. You can add images. It's got stickers. It's got washi tape, and you can make custom washi tape with it. Just like those little things make you happy, you know. But the thing that I think I like for the AI part and the process over product that I mentioned earlier is that FigJam has this feature called the Jambot. And the Jambot lets you put an idea or a question or a prompt into a sticky note. And then you can connect it to the Jambot widget, which you can, if you're in FigJam, you just go to the drop-down menu in the top left-hand corner and you go to widgets and you search for Jambot. And so what the Jambot will do is it'll let you prompt an AI model for ideas or for answers or for whatever. So what ends up happening is you put a sticky note on there, you connect it to Jambot, and then the Jambot throws out a whole bunch of sticky notes with a bunch of ideas or with, you know, whatever the AI model comes up with. And then what you can do is you can take those ideas that it kicks out and you can connect it to the Jambot again and have it kick out even more ideas. The thing that I love about this is that you start to see this great big mind map of all of these ideas that you're coming up with between you and the AI. And it starts to show the process of your thinking. And it just charts it out so beautifully. And so I think whenever we use it that way as a thought partner and, you know, as a way to get more ideas and tease things out, it can do that process over product. You know, this thing that we've been talking about in education for so long, we don't want to just, you know, emphasize what's the final answer. We want to know how students get to it. I think this is an example of how AI can come alongside students and help them do that.
Yeah, I think that's FigJam's amazing for so many reasons, but the Jambot, I think we talk about prompt engineering and a lot of times we think about it from our point of view as the teacher and as the educator, but we want to start to help our kids see what prompt engineering is, and this will kind of help them actually see it. What does it look like? What is prompt engineering and how can they use it? And I think that's a great way to get our kids started on it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is something that we're going to dive into some more next week. But, you know, I know Carly and I have both seen some really cool examples of how teachers are using AI to help them plan lessons. I think that was one of the first things when it came to ChatGPT and some of the AI assistants, we started to see that maybe it could help us write lesson plans and come up with creative ideas and stuff. And we're going to be diving into that a little bit more. But Carly, like, that's been one of the big things that I've seen teachers really gravitate to here early on with some of these AI tools.
Definitely. We talk about saving time, and this is definitely the big one, is helping us plan lessons and make our teaching even more effective and efficient.
Agreed. So lots of AI tools out there. Of course, because there are lots of them out there, doesn't mean you have to use all of them. I know it can be very easy to be overwhelming, but if we can find one or two of them that can really help us out and save us time, that's a win. So go check some of these AI tools out and see how they can help you as well.
Tech tips.
So this week's tech tip has to do with one of the AI assistants that I'm starting to like more and more the more that I use it. The AI assistant that, of course, so many of us got to know the most especially since its release was ChatGPT. And there's still lots of folks that use ChatGPT, and it's great. But if you use the free version of ChatGPT, it runs on an AI model called GPT 3.5. At least as of the recording of this episode, that's the way that it is. And if you go to the paid ChatGPT Plus, you get access to the more sophisticated, higher power GPT 4. Now, what I think a lot of people don't realize is that there is a major AI assistant out there that gives you GPT 4 for free. And it's Microsoft's Bing Chat. They're actually starting to rebrand it a little bit now. They call it Copilot. So if you just jump into a search engine and you search for Microsoft Copilot, it'll pull that up. And it runs on this GPT-4 AI model, and it does it completely for free. Now, if you don't realize like how big a deal this is, it's like if you look at the numbers and you go, oh, 3.5 before, that's not like that big of a deal, right? GPT-4 is so many, many multiples smarter and more powerful than GPT-3.5. I mean, it makes a huge difference in the level of sophistication and detail and accuracy that it can give you. The free version of ChatGPT with GPT 3.5 can do a lot, but Bing Chat or Copilot, when it uses GPT 4, just gives you your best chance of getting the best answers and everything. So I've started using it a lot more. It's totally free and it's got a little slider where you can either just get your regular answers, you can get more creative answers, or you can get more precise answers. And you just interact back and forth with it. It's kind of incredible what it can do. So as far as AI assistants go, that's my tip for you to go check out Bing Chat or Microsoft Copilot.
GPT-4 or Bing Chat with GPT-4 has been my go-to lately. And you know me, I jump around from ChatGPT to Perplexity. And then I've been finding myself going to Bing Chat almost every time now. And it's pretty amazing what you can do. So definitely go check it out. We just posted, as of the recording of this podcast, we just posted a blog post about it and shared it out. And so definitely check it out. Microsoft Bing is It's out there and it's amazing. And so what I wanted to share, if you go to Bing Chat, you'll see there's a whole bunch of ideas that you can look at, and it gives you some ideas for what you can put into Bing Chat and kind of play around with. But as teachers, you know, our time is limited. So, you know, we want to look at recipes and we want to look at travel, of course, but there's a whole library of prompts that we can use that's made for teachers. It's called the Gen AI Chatbot Prompt Library for Educators. And what's really cool about this is that you can take any of these prompts and put it into your favorite chatbot. And if you want to put it into Bing Chat, try it out. But it is aiforeducation.io/prompt library. And it has a bunch of prompts, and they are all ready for you to change up and work, make it work for you. But there's a bunch of them on here: administrative, assessment, communication for students. You've got lesson planning, professional development. So this is a great library of tools for you to get started with prompts. Now, it's a great way to start. Then you look at it and then you change it and make it work for your own classroom. But the prompts library is there for you to use, and you can use it in whatever chatbot you choose to use, your favorite one. But check it out. There's lots of ideas in there.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about this the most is that it gives you examples. It gives you ideas that you can sort of emulate yourself. Sometimes we get to some of these new tools and we just don't know what to do. And so this gives us a sort of a path forward. So yeah, there's a link to this in the show notes that you can check out. You can just go to ditch.link/podcast and then find the link to the prompt library for AI for Education.
Quick teaching strategies.
So if you're looking for something quick that you can use in class tomorrow, Carly and I have a couple of quick suggestions. One of them for me is to use graphic organizers. which of course graphic organizers are great because they give students sort of like a framework to do their work in. And so my quick teaching strategy is not just use graphic organizers, but I have one specific one that I wanted you to check out. So we just recently featured this on the Ditch That Textbook email newsletter, and it's one created by friend of the show, Laura Steinbrink, who is an English and Spanish teacher in Missouri. And she was having this fun conversation with a student or with a class of students about hooking readers into reading. You know, if you're going to write, you got to hook your readers in somehow. And she was trying to find kind of like an analogy to help students figure it out. And she had a student that said, well, if you have a hook, what about a fish? A hook needs a fish. Because she's got a whole bunch of, you know, like people who love fishing, students who love fishing. And so she created this whole fishing graphic organizer for essays and walks students through all of the prompts that you would use to create a great essay. So if you have students that do any writing, or if you have students that do essays, you might want to check this out. She's made a downloadable copy of it available, and you can find that in the show notes if you want to at ditch.link/podcast. But I really love the creative approach that she has to this. And if you've got kids that enjoy fishing, they might really like this graphic organizer.
Yeah, I love everything Laura creates. She's so creative and amazing. So my quick teaching strategy comes from the Ditch Summit session last year from Amanda Sandoval, who is a phenomenal teacher, and we share some great stuff from her. But we just shared something called the Ditch Summit ebook, and it's out there for you to kind of hold you over until the Ditch Summit starts. And it has 15 practical ideas from the Ditch That Textbook Digital Summit. And number 15 is this idea of a learning bento. And this idea comes from a reading bento that you create a bento box. You've seen those little bento boxes. It's like a mini little lunch with like little things around it, little pieces of food that you eat for lunch. But the idea of the reading bento is that you take a book and then you take different pieces of realia. You would take something from the book to kind of showcase what the book is about. You'd put the book there, the actual book, and then little pieces around it, maybe about the main character or about the place that it's from. And you create this reading bento. Well, Amanda twisted it and she turned it into a learning bento. And so she would give the kids a question, and then to share their answer or their thought process about it, they would create a learning bento. So the same idea, but they're answering the question using these pieces of realia. And you can do this digitally by having a Google slide and just pulling in images. So you can have the kids do it with actual things and take a picture, but you can also do it digitally where they find images and then create their learning bento on Google Slides. And then you can have your entire class on one Google Slides presentation. And I thought that was such a cool idea, really fun, really easy, and a great way for kids to kind of share their learning, their answer to the question or their thoughts about whatever you're learning about through images.
And so creative too. I mean, just like a little simple way for students to be able to display their creativity. I absolutely love that. So you can find links to both of those in our show notes at ditch.link/podcast.
Template of the week.
So over the years, one thing we've learned here at Ditch That Textbook is that if you're one of our readers, you love a good template. And what I mean by templates is they're these pre-made files. With us, a lot of times we make our templates in Google Slides or PowerPoint, but they could be from really just about any tech tool. But a template is a pre-made file that has kind of like an activity in it, and you give students a copy of it and then they do their work inside of it. And it's nice because a lot of the work is already done. And we do have an awful lot of templates that we've made over the years in our templates library. It's one of the most popular parts of the Ditch That Textbook website. You can find it real quickly at ditchthattextbook.com/templates. But in this segment of the podcast, we wanted to pull one particular template out. It might be a template that lives in our templates library. It might be someplace else. But we know that if you like those things that you can make a copy of and use in class right away, then we want to make sure you get some of them. We talked about our Yelp template during the or in the email newsletter this week. And I've got to tell you, it's probably one of my favorite ones that we've got. So if you're familiar with Yelp, you know, Yelp is that popular review site where you can take a restaurant or you can take somebody who provides a service or something, and you can drop your review in it, giving them a certain number of stars and adding pictures and talking about what you think about it and everything. And so what we decided to do was we created a Google Slides template that you can also get for PowerPoint. And we wanted to make it so that students could fill in sort of like a fake Yelp page where they could fill in all of the details, you know, like, you know, if you're talking about a business, you know, like what's the name of the business? What are the pictures of it? What's the description of it? What are the reviews like? How many stars do the reviews get? And it's been really fun to see how people have used it across lots of different content areas and grade levels and in all different types of classes and everything. And I think there's tons of creative potential for it, because really what you're doing is you're talking about how somebody feels about a particular thing and then justifying their opinion. Because really, you know, that's kind of the focus of a Yelp review, is that, you know, here's a business. What do you think of its services? And then from the perspective of the reviewer, they say, here's what I think about it. And they assign a star rating. And oh my goodness, Carly, there are so many different ways that this template can be used, right?
Yeah, I love one thing that we really love at Ditch That Textbook is when we see our templates out, we say templates out in the wild. When yes. We see people share what they've done with our templates, and it's so cool. People don't know how often you and I will sit here and look at it and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did this with that template. Like, look at this. And these are all the things that no one knows that you and I just sit here.
Right.
Gush over these teachers doing these amazing things with our simple templates that we share, and you guys just make magic with them. So a few things that we've seen on Twitter is we saw someone, April Watkins, shared that she created a virtual field trip choice board for her students. And we have a whole bunch of virtual field trips on our site as well that you can make this out of. But she actually shared a presentation with her choice board. And then she had the students create a Yelp review from each of their trips, which I thought was such a cool idea. So you took virtual field trips, then took this Yelp review, and then merged them together to make a really cool experience for the students where they're reflecting on it in a very relevant way. So that was one that I thought was very cool. Lindy Hawkingberry shared that she asked her kids, imagine you're an animal. What environment do you live in? Evaluate the animal that you live. Evaluate the environment you live in by writing a Yelp review of that environment. So she took the Yelp review and then just gave her kids a simple prompt. And I think this could be an easy bell ringer. You know, you have the kids come in and just give them this simple prompt, and then they write a Yelp review. So it depends on the focus of what you're doing. If your Yelp review is to actually, you know, look at a trip and then write about the trip, that's great. But maybe you're just having the kids practice writing a simple review, and this is a fun way. Just give them a quick prompt, and then have them write a quick Yelp review as a bell ringer or maybe an exit ticket.
I love these so much. So if you want to get a copy of the template, or if you want to see some of those examples that folks have shared with us on social media, you can go to ditch.link/podcast to get links for all of it.
So next week, we're going to be talking about lesson planning. I'm super excited about this because, like you said before, Matt, this is something that we think will be the ultimate time saver for teachers. So next up for next week, you'll want to tune in because we're going to be sharing a lot of great tools for lesson planning that is going to save you time.
Yes, absolutely. That's like we were saying earlier, it's one of those things that teachers have already sort of jumped in. Maybe you're doing, if you're listening to this right now, maybe you're already doing some of this yourself. We've also got a really nice resource for administrators, you know, like school and district leaders related to artificial intelligence, trying to wrap our brains around it and where it's going and what we should do and everything. So we're going to be sharing that on the email newsletter, but also we'll be talking about all this stuff on the podcast too. So, so if you haven't gotten a chance to subscribe to the email newsletter, the best place for you to go is just go to ditch.link/join, and that'll get you signed up for the email newsletter. So you can see all this stuff all throughout the week. But other than that, that sort of wraps it up. Lots of good templates, lots of good tools that you can start using. Hopefully everybody's got something that they can use. So, Carly, one podcast in the books in this new format. What do you think so far?
This is fun. I admit, Matt, I was very nervous. I'm always nervous to go from behind the scenes to in front of even a microphone, but this has been fun. I'm really excited. I love our listeners. I love our subscribers. So this is great. I'm excited about it.
Yes. Yes. Me too. And I love that there's going to be a version of this that everybody can just listen to on their drive, or, you know, while they're out working out or taking a walk or walking the dog or whatever. So, all right. Well, this has been fun. We hope that you will subscribe so that you catch all of the episodes coming up. For Carly Mora, I'm Matt Miller. This is the Ditch That Textbook podcast. We'll catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Get new teaching ideas in your inbox by subscribing to our email newsletter at ditch.link/join. Show notes for this episode are available at ditch.link/podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any episodes. And while you're there, please consider rating and reviewing the show. Thanks for listening, Textbook Ditchers, and we'll catch you on the next episode.